Reading is from Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. This is reading from the English Standard Version. It's under the caption, "The Whole Armor of God." "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak."
So the title of the sermon, as you saw in the bulletin, is "Be Alert, Be on the Alert. Prayer is a Weapon." I'm going to read to you the scripture again, only this time we're going to read it from the Amplified Version because I think it adds some meaning to this that we might miss otherwise. "Put on God's whole armor, the army of a heavenly armored soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the evil one." So forgive my little bit of slurred speech. It's first day with my new tongue. When I picture a Roman soldier, this is not exactly what I picture. It's a shield, basically, that's about another 2 feet tall. And I don't know if you know the history of the Roman soldiers, but what they used to do was the first rank would come forward, plant the soldier, the shield on the ground. And the second rank would come and put the shield over their head and the head of the first rank. So they basically built a tortoise shell of protection. And when they got rained on with all those arrows, none of them got through. So we have a modern-day soldier on here as well, and he's equipped with a flak jacket and all that good stuff. And I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that we are well-armored in God. We are well-protected by the Holy Spirit. For we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places and supernatural sphere. And my point here is that we are not fighting our neighbors or the bad person in the crowd or the evil people in the world today. We are fighting spiritual forces that live over towns, cities, states, countries, and they have dominion. And if you ever want to do an exercise and an interesting thought, pray about what is the spiritual force over our town, over Old Forge. You might find out it's alcoholism. You might find out it's something else. But the idea is that we need to identify our enemies in order to be able to take them out. John MacArthur said, "One of Satan's most effective strategies and therefore one of the believer's greatest dangers is the delusion that no seriously threatening conflict between good and evil is really raging in the invisible and supernatural realms." The idea that we're talking about spiritual forces, they're actually hierarchy of demonic activity in the world today. And we actually have little minions who sit on our shoulder, like if you're ever at read Og Mandigo's book, The Abolition of Man, and whisper into our ears something that the devil wants us to hear and the devil wants us to believe. It could be a lie about who we are in Christ. It could be a lie about our past affecting us. It could be a lie about our neighbor. My point is that we need to focus on what God is saying and not what the enemy is saying. I always tell people, part of the helmet of salvation is to have a filter on your mind. Something comes in and you say, oh, that doesn't check. Anybody ever have that experience? That doesn't check with what God would speak to me. So I'm going to reject that immediately. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done all that crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude, and right standing with God. This is righteousness. Righteousness with God is a gift. It is not something we earn. We are gifted with right standing with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. It's not based on how good we were this week or what we're doing. It's based on the fact that Jesus died for us on the cross. And we are given righteousness as a reward. So I always taught on the cycle of repentance. The cycle of repentance is repent, receive God's forgiveness, repeat. Because all of us run into areas where we sin every day. It might be a little thing of commission, like me eating an extra cookie. Yeah. It might be an act of omission. You know you should have said something. Like I had a lady who was in a prayer group that we were in, and we had all committed that we were going to go out and witness the next week. And it came for her time to share, and she said, well, I had an opportunity this week. Somebody asked me, she was going through a divorce and other things. Somebody asked me how I keep such a positive attitude going through all this stuff. And I said, well, what did you tell him? She said, I told him I took vitamins. And I said, yeah, go back and tell him you take vitamin J, Jesus. But this is a truth in our life. Jesus makes all the difference. I can't imagine personally what it would be like to live without Jesus in my life. Can you? If you can, I would suggest you press into Jesus more. And having shrouded your feet in the preparation to face the enemy with a firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Amplified, but what they do is they take the Greek word or the Hebrew word and they build in all the parameters around it so that you get a little more. I think I like this because I'm a little simple. I don't have to think too much about what they're really trying to say. The gospel of peace is our firm foundation. It's what we stand upon as Christians. We love it, and we need to learn to share it, even if it's just saying, I'll pray for you. It doesn't have to be fancy again. Lift up over all the covering of the shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. The shields were made of steel and wood, and the wood was soaked in pitch. So when a flaming arrow hit it, it was actually put out by the pitch. That is the kind of shield God gives us. Not this little wimpy round thing, but this entirely body covering shield. And that's why we need each other too, because we need that upright shield, but we also need the covering shield. You still have a helmet on, and it's the helmet of salvation. We know as Christians that we are saved unconditionally, loved by the Father. in Jesus because we've confessed his name, not because of anything we do. It's not by works, right? It's by faith. And you're okay to answer me. I kind of am one of these interactive people. So if you feel like yelling out yes, then you can, okay? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. So I find the Word of God just provides strength in every situation. What I mean by that is, I'll tell you a weird story. I was a Salvation Army cadet, which is a pastor in training, and we were in a nursing home giving a service, and this lady stood up and she started swearing and cussing and cursing Jesus, and I was preaching that day, and I looked at her and said, "Sit down in Jesus' name." You know what she did? She sat down. Because the power of God is real and alive and available to us today. Now, if she hadn't sat down, I probably would have dealt with it. But Jesus had mercy on me and she sat down. So we want to have the Word of God at the ready, especially when we're dealing with strange situations. And then what I'm going to tell you is the key verse here for me is pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And that's why I'm calling this sermon Prayer as a Weapon, because prayer is a weapon. It's being on alert for the schemes of the evil one. I had a friend who was on guard duty when I was in the military, and he was killed. And he was killed because he took his eye off the ball. He wasn't on the alert. He wasn't paying attention because everything seemed safe and quiet. So it doesn't matter how well we're armored, if we're not alert, if we're not awake, if we're not praying, if we're not focusing on the things of God, we're subject to die. And I come back to the fact that how many people remember in Genesis, it said, "For the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die." Did they die? Not physically. Adam and Eve were still around. But they spiritually died because that was separation from God. That's the real death, is separation from God. When we die in this physical body, I do like what the Salvation Army says. They say you're promoted to glory, not death. We are literally transitioning to heaven. When an unbeliever dies, they're literally transitioning to hell and separation from God. And I don't know about you, but that puts a burden on my heart to share with my neighbors and my friends and my relatives that Jesus is real. He's real in my life and he can be real in your life. Now, it's not up to me what they do with that message, but it is up to me to encourage them to turn to the Father. So why is prayer so important and how does it work? Let my prayer come before you, incline your ear to my cry. That's from Psalm 68:2. It's a personal thing between us and God. When we personally come and say, "God, these are the things on my heart." Like I've been praying since the first time I went in the hospital for an ultrasound tech whose son is going through difficulty. She will never know I've been praying for her. I told her I would. She probably thought, sure, because everybody says, "Oh, I'll pray for you," right? But I'm making intercession for them on a daily basis because God laid this on my heart, and I believe it's going to pay dividends. So our prayers can be for us, they can be for others, they can be for the church, they should be for the pastor. You should be lifting pastor up in prayer because, you know what? You think about it, who does the enemy like to target? They like to get the commander. If they can kill the commander, then the troops will scatter. And that's why we need to pray for our leadership and our churches and in our city and in our state and in our country, that God will protect them. These all in one mind were continually devoting themselves to pray along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Acts 1:14, the idea of community prayer. One of the things that I have noticed in all the churches that I've been in independent churches, Methodist churches, Salvation Army, Episcopal, Catholic, so many others, where I've actually been preaching. The least attended meeting in the church is the prayer meeting. So I would encourage you that if you're a lady and you have time, get on that Zoom prayer meeting. If you're a gentleman, well, we're going to be making another opportunity for prayer at some point here. Is that still happening, Sue, before the service? So there is 15 minutes of prayer, half hour before the service, if you want to come. I'm sure they would like the idea of overflowing the room we're currently meeting in. And the power of prayer and united prayer, the Word of God tells us we can change anything. We're two or more of us are gathered together in prayer. I actually was saved in a classroom as a teenager when I had some reasons to manipulate the church to do what I wanted them to do. So I went to this class, and I was the only one there. And I remember the guy because he had a beard like this, and he had a piece of sugar donut in the corner of his mouth. And I said, look at that. That dumb Christian is so stupid, he doesn't even know to wipe his mouth when he's done eating a donut. So that was a contempt I had for the teacher. But he stuck with me, and at the end of this class, after several weeks, he said, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior? My initial reaction was, no, I don't. I'm not that weak-minded, you idiot. What I found coming out of my mouth was, yes, I do. So it was one man investing in one arrogant teenager that brought me to Jesus. We never know what our prayers or the effect of our lives is going to have on someone else. And we never want to minimize that. You may be only talking to one person, but Billy Graham had a service in Florida. He had a crusade. It was early on in his ministry, and the first night they had nine people there. They had nine staff members there. So the nine people were the nine staff members. The second night they had nine people there. They had nine staff members. The third night, they had eight people there because one of the staff members was sick. The fourth night, they had 10 people there. So the first time a guy came in to the service, he walked forward, received Jesus. And then he went on in his life to evangelize in the continent of Africa. So we never know what the seed we're planting is going to do, or how God will bring it to life. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption and sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. This term, Abba, Father, means Daddy God, basically. We have a relationship with the Father that he loves us more than we could ever possibly imagine. More than a dad loves his son in heaven, God loves us. And he wants the best for us. He wants our completeness, our wholeness, our healing, our life, and our purpose to be covered by him and his love. We need not to forget that. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And part of the love demands is that we support our fellow Christians, even the ones we don't like. You all know that family member who you'll cry at her funeral, but you wouldn't want to see her coming to dinner, or him, or that friend who annoys you, but you put up with them anyway. I have one or two of those in my life. One of them is a great Christian guy. He just annoys the living daylights out of me. I still reach out to him because for some reason he likes me. So my point is, we need to be in a love relationship with each other. We need to be in a love relationship with God. And then this scripture, we can't give up on our prayers. In this scripture, I'm not going to read it because it's long, but Daniel had been praying, and the angel of the Lord had been dispatched immediately to answer his prayer. But the principalities and powers and spiritual forces, called the prince in this scripture, stood against him for 21 days until the archangel Michael came to help him. And then they fought through the principalities and powers and whatever was going on, and he gave Daniel his answer. Sometimes that's the way our prayers are. We have to be consistent, forthright, a little annoying, like Pastor was saying the other week with the guy who came to ask for bread. Can you give me some bread? No. I need bread. There's nothing wrong with repeating our prayers to God as long as we're not using endless repetition with no heart. That's what God requires of us, that we have heart in our prayers, that we love what we're praying for, we sense the need, and we deliver it to God in a powerful way. Amen? So just wrapping it up, we're called to be God's warriors. But God does not leave us without support, and that's the prayer called to be on the alert. We need to be prayer warriors, realizing we're fully decked out in armor, not dancing in front of the lines naked. We have our armor. We're ready. We have the shield. We have the sword of the Spirit. When I was young, I used to actually put on the whole armor of God in the shower in the morning so that I would be cognizant of the fact that I was dressed up for God, even though all I was putting on is civilian clothes. That's all anybody could see, but in the spirit, it was still there. We're called to corporate and individual prayer. And I will tell you that some people say, well, individual prayer is the most important thing. Corporate prayer is the most important thing. I'll tell you, they're both the most important thing. We need to be praying together, and we need to be sharing with each other our heartfelt needs. Even if we think they're stupid, I have a toothache. My job isn't going quite the way I want it to. I'm feeling a little lonely. We need to just lay out everything before each other to trusted people. I'm not telling you to go to the town gossip and say, hey, I got this problem. Can you gossip about it? It's not hee-haw. That doesn't make the problem go away. Anyway, we're going to sing a song now. We're going to try anyway. I'm going to teach it to you.